Psalm 40. And yeah, pulled me out of the mud and mire. That's in verse 2. And then we see down in 1 Corinthians 4, 1 through 7, which we read last week, but I'm going to read it again. 1 Corinthians 4, 1 through 7 says this: "Therefore, since God in His mercy has given us this new way, we never give up. We reject all shameful deeds and underhanded methods. We don't try to trick anyone or distort the Word of God. We tell the truth before God, and all who are honest know this. If the good news we preach is hidden behind a veil, it is hidden only from people who are perishing. Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand the message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God." You see, we don't go around preaching about ourselves. We preach that Jesus Christ is Lord, and we ourselves are your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let there be light in the darkness," has made that light shine in our hearts, so that we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. We now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. And this makes it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves. And you know, he pulled him up out of the muck and the mire. And here we see that God places his great treasure, Jesus Christ, inside of us, in clay pots. And it's evident, as I've said over and over again, how many times on Sunday morning that we come in hobbling, we come in limping. We come in with serious infirmities, illness, disease. We come in with problems. The Lord never said, "When you follow me, you're not going to have any more issues." Anybody preaching that kind of a gospel is preaching a gospel of untruth. It's lies. What the Lord says is, "I have overcome the world. You will overcome also." So no problem that you face is going to be too difficult. Jesus said, "Do not fear man who can kill the body." Right there, that says, doesn't it? I mean, somebody can come along and kill the body. But he says, "Do not fear man who can kill the body, but fear God who can destroy both body and soul in hell." So God brings us the knowledge that we are in clay pots. It is so easy to break a clay pot. I mean, if any of y'all spent the $40 to buy a really nice clay pot and then you set that joker down too hard with the pot plant in it and it splits and you're just thinking, "I'm never going to buy clay again." Y'all been there? I mean, but clay's still pretty. I mean, it just absolutely is. And so, there it is. And it says that we have this treasure in us and it's for the purpose of others knowing that, you know, there's something different about Lolly and Daniel. And it's obviously not Lolly and Daniel that's making the difference there. Because they're just a couple of clay pots. And that's true. But the problem is so many people today preach about themselves. I'm tired of sitting through sermons where people tell me for 20, 30 minutes about everything they did before they came to know Jesus. And people say, "Oh, well, you know, that's just necessary to pave the way for the gospel." No, Jesus was necessary to pave the way for the gospel. And he said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men to myself." People like lifting themselves up rather than lifting up Christ. And what it does is it draws other people who are still out sinning and doing everything that they were doing before, and it makes them feel okay about where they are and where they're not, and how they're living where they're not supposed to live. You see, it's not about where I've come from. Paul said it this way: we're all rebels. We've all sinned against God. And the truth of it is, if I look at anybody and I say, "Well, you know, I may not be the greatest guy, but boy, I'm sure better know Charles sitting out there." Well, the truth of it is, I am in trouble, not because, just you're teasing, I know what you mean, but I'm in trouble because the measure of salvation is not how good I am compared to you, or how good you are compared to me. The measure of salvation is God Himself. Are you as holy as God Himself? And the answer is none of us are. And so we've got a problem. But God has the solution. And the solution is Jesus Christ. God made Him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. And so, in other words, when God gives us His Holy Spirit by way of Christ, then what happens is He puts His light in us. And so that God's perspective on how He looks at us changes. He looks at us through our intermediary, Jesus Christ, and He says, "Oh, now, Teresa's one of my daughters. Oh, now, Tina's one of my daughters. Robert's one of my sons. Brother Lumen's one of my sons. Charles, Judy, they're mine." He looks at us from a different perspective. Well, what that means is in Galatians 4:19 that we in turn should have a different perspective. And that is, we should quit living by the lusts of the flesh, the things that drive us, emotions and everything else, and we start living by what God, what Jesus anticipates for us. We start loving our neighbor. We start praying and loving those who are persecuting us. We're not bitter about them. We don't hate them. We seek their peace because we know that except by the grace of God, we'd be just as lost as they are and just as hateful and mean as they are. It's not because God somehow changed our DNA. It's more than that. God imparted to us the holy DNA of Jesus Christ, which is the Holy Spirit. That's the seal. That's the mark. This flesh is still dying. And I mean, we're talking about this morning. We're getting older, boy. You can feel it. You wake up, you know, you're not feeling something in this part of your body, just wait. Give it a few years. You'll feel something there. I mean, it just seems to show up. Whoa, where did that come from? Boy, I hope that one goes away. And you kind of find out that it starts recurring 6 months or 2 years or 10 years down the road. And then that sucker shows up like an unwelcome guest every day. And starts making his way. And they're rude about their entry, aren't they? Right in the middle of what you were doing, they show up, you know. And aches and pains. We used to joke about it, you know. But that's the reality. But the Lord makes us who are just clay pots and fills us with this great treasure. But isn't that right? He doesn't want us to stay in the same muck and mire where we were. He's not going to fill up His treasure and let us stay like the hogs down in the muck. We have to be drawn out by Him. And then He puts that great treasure in us. And then we're inspired and motivated. Until Christ is formed in you, Paul said through the Holy Spirit in Galatians 4:19, I labor like a woman in childbirth. Now you think about that. That's from a perspective of somebody trying to reach somebody else for Jesus Christ. And right there you know why there's not disciples being made. I mean, women today keep talking about it, you know. As soon as they go into labor, give me the epidural, give me something, take this pain away. Right? So, right there, Paul's saying, if you're going to make a disciple, it's going to be a painful process for you and not pleasant for the disciple. I mean, the baby really doesn't remember the birthing process, but it can't be pleasant, right? I mean, it just can't be. But there it is. And so, what's true of us physically, that to be born into this life, that the woman and the child are going to go through this labor, is true in the spiritual. If we're going to see Christ formed in those around us, then we are going to have to be as though we are in the pains of labor to see Christ formed in those around us. It's going to take effort. And there's no epidural. You don't want one. Because the only way to bring a real Christ-transformed person to see this change take place in front of your eyes that only God can do. And we work towards it. But I mean, it's what God does. We, ladies, you work toward the birth of that child, but everything about that child is God's handiwork. I mean, it's just amazing. So Christ formed in them is a painful process, and we have to feel it to know. And so let's talk about light. We have this light in us. And it says that the gospel's hidden, it's because there's a veil. So in other words, Satan's blinded people's eyes. And in other words, the light's lit. We're lit, but boy, there's a veil, there's a curtain, there's something blocking them from seeing. Well, we're to let our light shine before men. So our declarations and preaching, proclamation, or the way in which we live and move and breathe and our goings are to bring God's loving kindness and His truth together. So, what do we know? Scripture says this, "For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." When Moses went up on the mountain, he came down, his face glowed. Folks, I'm telling you, people who spend time with Christ, they're going to be different. People are going to look at you just now. And that's 2 Corinthians 4:6. So the light is shining in our hearts, and this means we know His faithfulness and His salvation, which Psalm 40 talks about. We know His loving kindness and His truth, for His Spirit is in us, recreating us while we yet live and breathe. And for this reason, the Scriptures declare that we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, not handling the Word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. We live in such a way, and we proclaim the light has come by letting His light dwell and shine in us. And if it's hidden from somebody, it's because Satan's blocked. When we live for the Lord, Christ has been formed in us. And you can't live any other way. Well, listen, that's where we're going to stop this morning. Because we're going to take time to have a word of prayer as we look toward April 7th, the night of worship. I know we've been praying about it, but the day's drawing near. So I want to encourage you every day to be thinking about this, to prepare your heart as God is also in great anticipation for this day of worship. Think about that. God longs to be worshipped for who He is. And we're going to do that. But it doesn't just happen on the 7th. It starts now. Preparing our hearts. And then we come together collectively. What happens on the 7th is the outpouring of what we've been doing prior to the day. Where are we in our hearts? Are we worshiping the Lord when nobody else is around? That will be brought in. And as we are all who are worshipers come together, it's a celebration. We're celebrating the hope that we have in Christ. And we're saying to people, be encouraged. The Lord has a place for everyone who calls on the name of Jesus Christ at His table. And His table is a banquet spread for all of the redeemed in Christ. And let the people say so. And all God's people said, amen. All right. We're going to have a word of prayer. Teresa, you need to come up here and lead us in a word of prayer so they can hear your voice. I know. You don't want to. You're not moving. She loves that. Would you lead us in our prayer? This is going to be our closing prayer as well. But it's a call to just worship. And as she's making her way here, Is there anybody? I just want to express my gratitude to everybody, everybody for prayers, everybody for help. Brother Linda comes up here and just he says he can't drive a hammer, but he's there, and we appreciate that faithfulness.
Actually, I was sitting back there thinking the cross, Daniel, that you have. The Lord really touched my heart. I was out and about doing some stuff for work. We have a restaurant order that we do every month. And there's the group of folks, there's evidently a Christian drug rehab in between Jacksonville and Rusk. And drug rehab. And they set up a display every so often and they make crosses. And those crosses are sold to help fund the drug rehab. Because otherwise, it's non-profit. And so I walked up and, of course, I never have cash on me. And but I did. My dad had sent me some money for my birthday. And the young man greeted me. And he's a young man, probably in his 20s, and he began giving his testimony. And his testimony was he had been on drugs, and then he'd go to rehab, not this one, other ones that were secular, and he'd get off the drugs, but that void wasn't filled with anything. So he'd go back to drugs. Anyway, 3, 4, or 5 times he was doing this. And finally, the Lord sent him to this one that's in between Rusk and Jacksonville. And he said, they got me off drugs, and then they filled the void with Christ. And he helps make those crosses. They help. They earn the money that funds that place. And he just gave the most beautiful testimony. He said, I filled that void with the cross. He said, I haven't one time desired to have drugs again. And he's been clean for a year. So I bought it, not knowing what it was for. And then you did what you did. And we just knew it was for you. So it's just neat how God puts everything together. But it just really blessed my heart to see a young man that he lost his whole family because of what he did. But in the midst of it, he is going back to his family one by one and leading them to Christ. So it just reminded me every day that that's what we're here for. Yeah, we work to earn our money, to feed us, but our purpose is to lead others to Christ. And that's what this time of worship is all about. Is that to lead people to Christ. They're coming all over the state of Texas, and they're coming from even Louisiana, which is amazing. But just praying for those that God chooses to bring here and to challenge all of us to live radically altered lives, because our home is not here. It is in heaven, and hopefully we will lead others to Christ so they can join us in heaven. And so I just want to thank all of y'all, because it's been neat to see the body of Christ come together. And it's taken everybody to bring this night of worship. So just pray that you would just draw whoever he wants here. Whether we have 10 or we pack out the house and they're standing in the streets. Just those that God wants here. So let's pray. Father God, we praise you and we thank you for the blessing it is to come together. To encourage one another, to study your word. And Lord, just to be strengthened as we go out this week, just to be that light. Lord, that is our purpose, is to lead others to you. And Lord, we thank you for how you blessed us with a group of people who love you with all their hearts. Lord, we are small in number, but Father, you changed the world with 12.
That's right.
And Father, just pray that you would help us just to remember that you're with us every step of the way. Help us to put on the full armor of God, as we can see Satan is fighting every step of the way. Even amidst the flyers were lost in the mail. But Father, thank you for Tina and Robert who persevered and who printed them again and spent hours preparing them. Lord, how we can already see the fruit, Lord, of those flyers and the Bibles that were passed out in the neighborhood of you touching hearts and touching lives. And Father, just pray that you would bind the enemy from this place, from this community. Just, Lord, just help us to continue to look to you for strength and for guidance and for perseverance. And Father, may you bring the people that you want here. Lord, you know who they are. And just pray, Lord, that you would help us to be radically altered every step of the way, every day. Father, it is a daily thing for us to take up your cross and follow you. And Father, just pray that you would help us to glorify and honor you in all that we think, do, and say. And Father, just pray that you would truly change the hearts of these people in this neighborhood, across the state, and you'll reach into other states as well. Father, so we can become an army for you, to march for you as we march on home to be in heaven with you one day. Father, we praise you and thank you for your love. Thank you for all that you do for us, for how you blessed us with food and clothes and shelter. Father, just pray that you would truly help us to be radically altered every day of our lives. In Jesus' name.